on the force, does that make me feel safe? 2002, Fargo police officer disciplined for having sex in his police car. In the 2002 incident, Brett Witt is his name, lost 15 days without pay after admitting to supervisors he had sexual relations in his squad car with an 18-year-old woman he was quote-unquote dating at the time. The same woman was arrested 2 years later in 2004 as part of a Fargo prostitution sting and later convicted. Apparently him and the Secret Service guys have been chatting. So she gets convicted. He gets to keep his gig. 15 days without pay. Now keep in mind, you've got Secret Service people. Look, I understand protecting the president. Whole different ballgame. And when it comes down to your life, I think you and I would both agree that our lives are just as important as the president's when it comes to our own life. So think about who's out there. Again, Chief Turnus does a great job. The question is, should Chief Turnus now remove this man from the force after the several strikes he's had? 271-1100, number to call in. So then, as of late, he's got an unmarked police vehicle parked in his driveway. Several items get stolen from it. Items include several pair of handcuffs, a bulletproof vest, a handheld radio, a taser, two loaded ammunition clips for a handgun, and a knife. Now, let's just take a step back. So you park your concealed cop car, which what do cops always tell you to do? Make sure you lock your car doors, especially with all the new people coming into the state of North Dakota. This guy leaves a cop car unlocked. Not only does he leave it, it's one thing if you leave it unlocked. Okay, you leave it unlocked, but obviously it's going to be empty if you're going to leave it unlocked, right? No. Not this guy. Not Brett Witt. Boy, he's witty, isn't he? Brett Witt leaves handcuffs, bulletproof vest, a handheld radio, and a taser inside the car for guys to come and gawk. I mean, just think there's a taser flying around town right now. All I can think of when I read the taser piece from this is the movie Hangover. All right, kids, these three gentlemen here have volunteered so you can tase them. Just shoot and aim, just fire, just aim and fire there, kitty. Oh, in the face. I mean, oh. And what's amazing, and I focus on the taser here because at one point, this gentleman also was involved, Brett Witt, Mr. Witty, was also involved in an incident in which he tried to use a taser on a driver who was leaving the scene of a traffic stop. I mean, does he think he was from the movie Hangover 2? I can't imagine what he was saying after he used the taser on this person leaving the traffic stop. So my question to you is, should Chief Turnus go, you know what, enough's enough, this guy needs to be removed from the force. Emails coming in going, hey, probably can't fire this guy because he's a Goonian. He's probably part of the Goonians.
In the face! In the face!
There it is, Hangover. If you haven't seen it, or if you have, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Ray, dumb cop. I mean, that's putting it mildly. I'd be careful ridiculing this guy since he's still in the force. Fargo cops are extremely vindictive. You know what? I mean, if that's going to be the case, then that's going to be the case. But let's also sort of, you know, use our minds here and go, probably not the smartest thing to do. 271-1100. Gabe, welcome to the show.
Hey, Chris. Sounds like there's some goofy business going on in the Fargo PD, at least with this guy.
You know, and again, Chief Turnus does a great job. So maybe it is a single event, but you extrapolate out to the Secret Service and you go, okay, apparently something's going on if you want to get that protect and serve badge.
Yeah, absolutely. See, I was going to comment real quick. I know that you're going to have Mike Marseille on, but I won't be able to listen. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Mike Marseille, I've met him on a number of occasions, and he is a great guy. He is a great entrepreneur, and he is an absolutely phenomenal North Dakota success story. When you have him on, just have him tell the story.
You know what? You read my mind. That's exactly what I'm going to do, because I don't think a lot of people understand sort of where he came from, how he got back in the state, and the thing that he's done for economic development here in the state. So we'll definitely have him share that, and if you can call back in, Gabe, that would be great, okay?
Yeah, not a problem.
All right, buddy. Again, 271-1100, 271-1100, email talk, T-A-L-K, talk at chrisbergshow.com. We'll get back to this story as well later on. Also want to visit with you about higher ed. Do you feel like the North Dakota legislature is micromanaging higher ed too much? Do you feel like they've got their finger on the Board of Higher Ed too much? Interesting op-ed in the paper this morning about the higher ed. Three people saying, hey, I don't want to go back to that. I either resign or don't want to be sort of reelected back into the Board of Higher Ed because of a lot of the stress and pressure. I think it goes way beyond the legislature's micromanagement. Plus, definitely want to visit with you, and I was dying to talk to you about this tomorrow, the salaries of professors, and then the piece comes out this morning about Coach Bowl and Coach Haxtell, what they're making as well up at UND and NDSU. We'll get a chance to get your thoughts on that. And hey, are coaches overpaid? Are professors overpaid? Is everybody in higher ed overpaid? I've got an interesting take on it, obviously, playing college sports. We'll talk about that and much more. Coming up next, though, it's Public Service Commissioner Kevin Kramer and your phone calls, 271-1100, 271-1100. You're listening to The Chris Berg Show, coming to you live from the PetroServe USA studio.
Every so often, the stars are in perfect alignment, and during the Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Sales Event, now is that perfect moment. For a limited time, get 0.9% APR on the certified pre-owned Lincoln of your choice, which comes with the confidence of our 6-year, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty. The Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Sales Event, exclusively at your Lincoln dealer. APR varies by term. Not all buyers will qualify for Lincoln Automotive Financial Services limited term financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by 4/30/12. See dealer for qualifications, limited warranty, and complete details.
They say the best things in life are free. So why are we paying so much for our basic information and entertainment needs? The average cable TV bill has more than doubled in the last 10 years. The price of movie tickets keeps going up. So exactly what is free today anyway? Well, you're listening to it. Local radio. Support the advertisers that support this radio station. And keep listening. We won't send you a bill. There are still some things you just shouldn't have to pay for.
When I was little, we could talk about anything.
I still want you to talk to me.
When I was little, you taught me to follow rules.
I still want you to guide my life.
When I was little, we
laughed and played. I still want us to have fun together.
When I was little, you gave me hugs.
I still could use a hug once in a while.
When I was little, you told me you loved me
every day. I still want to hear those words.
When I was little, you were my hero.
I still want to look up to you. You're my parent, and I'll always need you.
No matter their age, your children never stop counting on you. Stay close to your kids. Stay connected. Visit parenting.org for helpful resources, or call the Boys Town National Hotline at 800-448-3000 for free parenting advice.
Designer Homes, The Wilds at Westport, Shields, Irie Insurance, Valley Imports, and Comfort King, and AM 1100 The Flag present the giveaway of a lifetime. You could win one of the largest prizes in Fargo-Moorhead-West Fargo radio history. A new home worth $500,000. Yes, $500,000. Register to win the giveaway of a lifetime Monday through Thursday from 3 to 7 p.m. Weekends 12 to 5. And there's no purchase necessary. Just get to the Wilds of Westport and West Fargo. Just go to 47th Avenue South, just off Cheyenne Street. Look for the signs and register to win. Listen for our live on-location broadcasts when we start pulling names that could be yours to win the giveaway of a lifetime. A new $500,000 home. Go to AM1100Online.com to see the house and to get more information. One of the largest prizes in Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo radio history could be yours from AM 1100 The Flag.
Getting the pulse of the heartland. The Chris Berg Show, fueling the heartland from the PetroServe USA studios.
Coming up on 820 here on the Chris Berg Show. Think about how much the North Dakota coffers are growing literally every day. Then think about if we could actually have the oil coming out of the Bakken going through pipelines rather than railways, because you got to discount the price when it goes via railway. How much more could possibly be going into the coffers? What would that mean for Measure 2, maybe state income taxes? Who knows what kind of unintended good consequences could actually come from that? To tell us more about it, Public Service Commissioner Kevin Kramer joins us this morning. Number to call in with questions or comments, 271-1100-888-598-8464. Kevin, interesting piece in the paper yesterday. You mentioned about some other pipelines potentially being built. What other pipelines are possibly going to be built? When are they going to be done?
Well, the when is probably the big question. Right now, is if you look at every project that's in the docket, and I'm talking about proposed projects as well as completed projects, we could be bumping up to around 1.9 million barrels per day of export capacity, and that includes all the rail, all of the pipelines that are in the docket. Now, they probably won't all get built, so some of it is, as you said, the when. It's the race is on, so to speak, and that's where shipper commitments through what's called an open season process that helps determine whether investments are made in pipelines or not. You know, that the pipelines, of course, are the most efficient and safest way to move petroleum product, but we're seeing this absolute boom in rail facilities, and that I think was some of the topic of Rob's piece, and rail being, while it doesn't discount the price, it does cost more obviously to move by rail, but I think the economics of rail, to be fair, you have to consider the fact that rail, first of all, gets built quickly and has been built quickly. It right now we're moving nearly a quarter, 25% of the Bakken crude by rail to market. But the one economic advantage rail does have, Chris, is that its flexibility to multiple markets provides the seller the opportunity to seek the best price. Where a pipeline is efficient and safe, it's somewhat unilateral. And so what we found with rail, for example, in March, there was as much as a $32 per barrel discount being paid for Bakken crude at Clearbrook, Minnesota, which is sort of the main terminal hub for Bakken crude. There certainly are others, but that's where most of it goes. That's where.
So can you interrupt you for a second? Because just a moment ago, you said there isn't a discount for the oil, and then you just said there's a $32 discount for the Bakken crude. Yeah. So I don't understand that.
But it's not because it's shipped by rail. The $32 discount in March at Clearbrook was not railed to Clearbrook. It was piped to Clearbrook. And the reason for that discount is the glut of product, the oversupply, if you will, in the bottleneck created at Clearbrook. Whereas on the Gulf Coast, they pay a premium for Bakken crude. So let's round it off. Let's say it's $30 discount at Clearbrook and it's a $10 premium at the Gulf Coast. That's a $40 swing. And so where you might not have a rail or a pipeline to the Gulf Coast, but a rail, you could rail it to the Gulf Coast or let's say to the East Coast, where another place where they'll pay a premium. It's actually the premium more than makes up. The price swing more than makes up for the extra shipping cost by rail. So I think we have to view the economics of rail versus pipelines in the entire context. And when the day comes, Chris, when there are bullet lines to the Gulf Coast, the pipelines that is, and there's plenty of pipeline capacity to get to all of the potential markets, clearly that's a more efficient and productive way to and safe way to move.
So this oil. $32 discount is taking place because there's such a huge amount of supply?
That's right. That's exactly right. It's a huge supply, and of course, you create a bottleneck, just like Cushing, Oklahoma. Cushing, Oklahoma is a major hub area. You know, the Keystone finally announced that they're going to build the last leg of the XL before the first leg. This is something I asked them to do 2 years ago, because there's a glut in Cushing, Oklahoma, and when you build that last 450 miles to the Gulf Coast and you open up that bottleneck, it frees up more oil to get more supply to get to other markets. Then you have some price advantage. And by the way, that price advantage is important to producers, it's important to royalty owners, and of course it's important to the state of North Dakota, because as you pointed out earlier, the revenue it's a production tax that's based on price.
Then I wanted you to visit about that again. Kevin Kramer, Public Service Commissioner of North Dakota, join us this morning here on the Chris Berg Show. Number to call in, 271-1100, 271-1100, email talk@chrisbergshow.com. Rob Port from Sanding Blog says that since January, the lack of a Keystone pipeline, i.e. other pipelines, has cost the state And as you mentioned, mineral owners and whatnot, $572 million. Is that accurate or not?
Well, it's I don't know what math Rob used. It could very well be accurate if you're taking the WTI, that's the West Texas Intermediate Price, that's the main index for pricing crude in the United States or the New York market or New York Exchange, and you apply that versus the discount you get paid if you're oversupplying, and at any given time that discount changes, again, depending on supply. Part of the problem we had this winter, Chris, was that we had such a fantastic, nice winter, which allowed a lot of production to take place, and of course, when you oversupply any market, obviously the price is going to go down. That's what happened. So I don't know what Rob did, but if he took the WTI price and compared that to what the discount price was, that very well could be accurate. I don't doubt that. And one thing about producers, you know, you might say, well, why don't they slow down production then and, you know, sort of cap their wells, if you will, and wait for the price to come back up or, you know, undersupply. But there are contracts in place. It's also against their very nature to, you know, slow down production. Of course, there are collusion issues. And so producers just tend to produce as fast as they can produce and get it into the supply chain and in the marketing stream. And when this capacity, this export capacity, all catches up, and it's getting closer, but when it catches up to then we'll see, I think, a more flattening, if you will, of the price range.
So here's obviously what's frustrating for the layman like myself, Kevin. You talk about this oversupply, this glut of oil sitting there, and yet gas continues, and just recently it's gone down a little bit, but continues to go up. Help me understand how this is not impacting my pocketbook more.
Well, boy, you've asked probably literally the million-dollar question right now, because it is a commodity that is indexed. Who's taking that $30 is really the question. Is the refiner making that much more? Are the pipeline companies making that much more? I think those are questions for people other than me, because I frankly don't know the answer to that. But you're right in that when the discount is getting paid to the producer, why is that not reflected in the gas tank? Maybe it is to some degree, but I suspect there's some sharing of that discount. But the reality is the product is worth what the product is worth in the global marketplace. At least in the continental marketplace.
Let me ask you. Said there's a $32 discount per barrel. How many thousands of barrels of oil are we getting out of the ground today in North Dakota?
Well, I think the last report was 558,000 barrels per day.
All right, so I'm not a math major, but let's take the 558,000 times the 32. Why don't we just go expand the Tesoro refinery, get this thing so we can start cranking all this oil out and actually produce gas here, and we'll call it North Dakota Gas and make a mint.
Well, there's been a lot of money spent on studies to study that very issue. First of all, specifically to the Tesoro refinery in Mandan, which is what you're talking about, and that is our only refinery. That has just limitations. It is expanded, and it continues to be expanded in small increments, but it's really limited in terms of its capacity, in terms of the water, you know, availability, in terms of just, you know, lots of things. We, by the way, half of that finished product is exported out of the state. So it's not like there's an undersupply of finished product in North Dakota, except occasionally with diesel. And that we can talk about that, and there are three diesel refineries in the works right now in North Dakota, very small ones. Economists who have studied this over and over and over again, including a study that was commissioned by the Department of Energy a couple of years ago that was overseen by the North Dakota Association of Rural Electric Cooperatives, really once again demonstrated the rule, basically, that refined petroleum products economically do not work far from markets. In other words, refineries work best close to the retail market. I think, Chris, some of that is because there are so many different products that are refined. It's not even just gasoline. It's several blends of gasoline, various octanes, diesel fuels, and all of these things. And so, you know, whereas a crude oil product is one product that doesn't need to be batched, if you will. It just goes and flows, you know, continuously the same exact mix every day, all day long. So piping petroleum product, well, you can do it, and certainly some of it is. I mean, Magellan in Fargo, for example, the pipeline in Fargo is responsible for about, I think, 40% of the refined products sold in North Dakota, and that's imported from Minnesota and maybe places south as well.
Kevin, when we come back, I want to get your thoughts on the Keystone Pipeline. What's sort of stalling this besides President Barack Obama, and I think it's all kind of tied together. Follow the Money in Politics. Plus, we'll get an update on your campaign as well. Again, join us this morning, Public Service Commissioner Kevin Cramer, talking about some other potential pipelines here in the great state of North Dakota. What does that mean for your pocketbook? And, of course, your questions, 271-1100. Again, 271-1100. I'm Chris Berg, coming to you live from the PetroServe USA studio.
Ottertail Power Company is on for you. Generating electricity with new technologies and improving delivery systems, supporting jobs and communities, promoting conservation, saving money and resources, and delivering cost-effective energy to our customers for more than 100 years. Ottertail Power Company, on for you.
Hey, what's up? Holla at ya, boy. XOXOXO. You getting these texts? Question mark. Where are you? What are you doing? OMG, you are making me mad. You better text me back. I'm waiting outside your house.
Relentless, aggressive texting is like sending an angry robot to deliver your message. When does the robot become dangerous? Let us know at thatsnotcool.com.
Thatsnotcool.com.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Will it rain today? Talk Radio AM 1100, The Flag, has the answer.
Here's your forecast for the Fargo-Moorhead area. From the Weather Eye Weather Center for today, partly sunny skies, warming up to 75 to 80 degrees for the high, with southeast winds at 5 to 15 miles per hour. For tonight, a partly cloudy sky with a chance of rain showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms. Overnight lows in the mid-50s with south winds at 5 to 15 miles per hour. Wednesday, partly sunny skies with a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the morning, 70 to 75 degrees for the high. Breezy with northwest winds around 10 miles per hour, increasing to the north around 20 in the afternoon. Wednesday night, partly cloudy skies, breezy, lows 35 to 40 degrees. Thursday, partly sunny, a high in the mid-50s. Friday, mostly cloudy skies with a chance of rain showers and a high in the mid-50s. And looking ahead to Saturday, partly sunny skies, chance of rain showers, and a high in the mid-50s. This is AM 1100, The Flag.
The right choice. Talk Radio AM 1100, The Flag.
Add more green to your gold with BioBoost. BioBoost Liquid is a plant growth promoting rhizobacteria that can boost canola yields by 2 bushels per acre. Active in the soil, it promotes better root development and healthier plants. At the end of the season, there's more seed in the bin and more profit in your pocket. BioBoost Liquid is applied after the crop has emerged and can be tank mixed with glyphosate. It all comes down to performance, and Brett Young is bringing a new standard of excellence to the field. Contact your Brett Young retailer to book your BioBoost Liquid today.
Work your calves with Vista Once and Vision vaccines and earn a 4% rebate with the Merck Animal Health Pounds Pay Program. Live from every angle, Vista Once protects your calves with the most complete respiratory disease coverage available. And Vision vaccines add 14 additional pounds at weaning for every calf. Plus, when you add Safeguard and RowGrow to your purchase, you can add pounds and earn up to a 6% rebate. Ask your veterinarian or animal health supplier about the Pounds Pay Program today.
Farming's my life, and that's not going to change, but it's risky. Good farmers know their expenses and how to control them. So when it comes to insurance, I have to ask tough questions like, do I have equipment breakdown coverage? What if the GPS in my combine short circuits? And my favorite, can I call in the middle of the night to report a claim? I like that one.
For over 60 years, Nodak Mutual's been protecting farmers and ranchers in just about every scenario you can imagine. Nodak Mutual, agents with answers.
Get a deluxe car wash fast pass available at your area stop and go stores. You'll get 5 deluxe washes for only $25 and a 4 cents per gallon gas discount at participating locations. It's easy to keep your car clean with a deluxe car wash fast pass at your area stop and go stores.
For a satisfying lunch, a delicious family dinner, a festive occasion, or an outdoor celebration, Stop and Go has the best buns in town. Baked fresh daily and special orders are always welcome. Stop in at your convenient area stop and go stores.
The only opinion that matters is yours. The Chris Berg Show, fueling the heartland from the PetroServe USA studios.
Driving along, you can see all the people who seem to have nothing to say to each other. Each day they grow farther and farther away from each other.
Coming up on 8:35 here on the Chris Berg Show. 271-1100, number to call in With us this morning, Public Service Commissioner Kevin Kramer. Email again, talk@chrisbergshow.com. Kevin, I want to visit with you a little bit more about this Keystone Pipeline and why it's not getting done. I know everyone says, hey, it's the environmentalists, but I've got a soundbite from Bismarck City Commissioner Mike Seminar. We had him on a while back. And it was when the Keystone, I think the CEO was in town at an energy program in Bismarck, and he got up and sort of talked about, is it TransCanada, the name of the company?
That's correct.
The TransCanada CEO got up and spoke a little bit, and Mike said that when he spoke with the TransCanada CEO, he mentioned this, and I want to get your thoughts on the railway, Warren Buffett, and this comment from Mike Seminary.
I'll tell you who's funding that, Chris, is a guy by the name of Dick Holland. Dick Holland is from Omaha. He is an environmentalist, nothing wrong with that. He is on the board of the Sierra Club in Nebraska, and he also was one of the first investors in Berkshire Hathaway. And the reason that's important, and we're never hearing about that, and he and his wife made about $250 million as investors in Warren Buffett's company. If we don't move this product by pipeline, we'll move it by rail. And BNSF, which is owned by Berkshire Hathaway, their system crisscrosses the entire proposed route. And I think it's important for people to know that.
Kevin?
Yes.
I mean, you know the saying in politics, follow the money. Look, they got the Buffett rule that came out. Buffett's doing this whole thing about, you know, I pay more taxes than my secretary, blah, blah, blah. I mean, obviously, Buffett's in their back pocket.
Well, sure. I mean, I don't know if he's in their back pocket or if he's just a good patriot that, you know.
Come on, you're going to use patriot for him?
Here's what I'd say about it. First of all, I think it's a plausible and it's certainly a sexy scenario that's fun to talk about in politics. And at the same time, there's no question Nebraska has become a bit of a hinge pin in this whole thing, because when Mike Johanns, an otherwise normally pretty common sense Republican senator, and you know, agrees with Henry Waxman on a project like the Keystone XL, you have some problems. But at the same time, I would not want to under sort of state or value, you know, Nebraska's concerns about the Ogallala Aquifer either. I will tell you this. Last week, I was in Fort Worth, Texas. I gave a speech at the BNSF Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad's annual agricultural summit. In fact, Matt Rose, the CEO, spoke right after me, and he answered this very direct question about, you know, BNSF's possible culpability or role in stopping the Keystone XL, or at least holding it up, and you know, their selfish interests. He was so emphatic about the fact that they had nothing to do with it, to the point where he said, "I called Warren Buffett before making my official statement to make sure that there was nothing that Berkshire Hathaway or that he personally or anybody associated with the company that they had nothing to do with this Keystone Pipeline project and holding it up." And he said he was equally as emphatic. And to me, it's hard to be that emphatic, especially if you're a company that size, if there's some culpability, because you just know people are going to find things out. Now, again, is it plausible? Sure. Is it sort of sexy? Sure. I tend not to, you know, to gravitate toward those kinds of conspiracy theories too extreme, but I would say this.
But where's the conspiracy theory when obviously BNSF is going to make a lot of money as long as the thing continues to be transported via rail?
Well, but first of all, to be fair, BNSF does not transport, at least they transport a negligible amount of oil sands. You know, Alberta, Canada, and northern Alberta, Canada is largely, you know, outside of BNSF's reach. They might have an occasional car or train that they would take a supply from, but they do not go into Alberta and take take oil sands crude out of there. They're Canadian Pacific Railway, the, you know, CN Rail up there. They clearly move a lot of that product, but not BNSF specifically. Now, BNSF does move Bakken crude. I'm grateful that they do, because if they weren't there and along with the Canadian Pacific, you know, we wouldn't have a route for about 25% of our oil production right now. So, do they make some money? Sure, they make some money moving crude. They make a lot more money moving coal, and that there's some, you know, concern obviously about the future of coal. That's a huge area for BNSF, and they move an awful lot of ag commodities, especially North Dakota ag commodities, to market. And we're having a solid, consistent relationship, and occasionally argument with them over some of some of those issues. But I, while it's a plausible scenario, I tend not to gravitate too much toward those sorts of theories.
Well, let's move on to this then. Again, Kevin Kramer with us this morning, Public Service Commissioner, 271-1100. I just mentioned follow the money in politics. There's some assertions against you and Brian Kyle about money that you've taken for your campaign, I believe, from coal companies. Anything you want to say about that?
Well, first of all, they're not from coal companies. The money is from people who make money, owning coal reserves, a spouse of somebody who's not an officer. I mean, it's frivolous. I'll say it. It's frivolous. What's most disappointing about these claims is that, first of all, they want to deny the First Amendment rights of certain people, a certain class of people, to be legally involved in contributing and expressing themselves through contributing in politics. Second of all, it's not a big chunk of money. Over the course of two different candidates and three or four different years, the whole sum total is somewhere around $15,000 in contributions, which is a small fraction of the amount that is used in the campaign. But what's most disappointing is it's the Sierra Club and the Dakota Resource Council who oppose coal mines. That's fine. I don't have a big problem with that. They want to do that. But they take donor dollars, and instead of building an evidentiary case based on facts, based on expert testimony that they could provide if they have the experts, based on evidence that they could provide if they have the evidence, and try to build a case to help the Public Service Commission make an appropriate determination on whether a coal mine ought to be permitted or not in Western North Dakota. Instead of doing that, before there's even a permit in front of the Public Service Commission, and it'll be some time, probably years, before this permit would even come before the commission itself, they're already trying to get to smear the judges in the case, who haven't even indicated how they'd vote on the permit, because we haven't seen a case yet. So it's a very peculiar way to build a case. It's the only time, in fact, since I've been on the commission, that interveners in the case have chosen this route. And so it's the silly season. Chris, ironically, the Dakota Resource Council, their attorney makes contributions to Democrats, including my opponent in the last race, and that seems to be fine. But if you support coal, you're not allowed to make those kinds of contributions. It's just a distraction, if you will, that they're trying to put in front of us.
Yeah, I get
we'll,
that.
We'll deal with it.
Trying to create the collusion idea. Again, 271-1100, Kevin Kramer, Public Service Commissioner, joins us this morning. Last question for you, Kevin. I've heard about some internal polling taking place, obviously, for the primary between you and Brian Kulk. Your comments on that. Have you done some polling? And if so, what is it showing?
Well, first of all, of course I've done polling. We if you're a serious candidate for Congress, you poll and you find out where you are and where your opponent might be. And but the purpose of internal polling is not to share it, but rather to use it for your strategic advantage. And so I'm not going to indicate what the polling showed. It shows lots of things, and we'll be doing some more. But I like where I'm sitting, but I'm not entitled to this nomination. That's why we have elections, and that's why we run campaigns. And Brian Kulk is a good man and a decent fellow, and he's a good friend. And so we'll have a good, clean, upbeat campaign.
Brian, we got some phone calls coming in. I want to get to again, 271-1100, 271-1100. There is one phone line open. Call in now. You'll get that line. Brad and the others will get to you. 271-1100 with us this morning, Public Service Commissioner Kevin Kramer. I'm Chris Berg, coming to you live from the PetroServe USA studio.
First International Bank and Trust presents
Did You Know?
Founded in 1910, First International Bank and Trust is North Dakota born and bred, now with 21 locations in 3 states. First International Bank continued through some of the most historic times in history. They were making loans the week of April 27th, 1974, when a beleaguered President Richard Nixon agreed to release the transcripts of that secret Watergate phone conversation to Congress.
That was then.
First International Bank and Trust is here helping you make the most out of your life. If you're looking for a business loan, car loan, or second mortgage, they're here to help you make the right decision.
Also during this week in history, Paramount released the very first widescreen film at Radio Music City Hall. It was White Christmas, and the year was 1954. First International Bank and Trust was open and helping their customers plan for the future. First International Bank, 100 years, 21 locations, 4 generations, 1 family. Life. Make the most of it.
Designer Homes, The Wilds at Westport, Shields, Irie Insurance, Valley Imports, and Comfort King, and AM 1100 The Flag present the giveaway of a lifetime. You could win one of the largest prizes in Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo radio history. A new home worth $500,000. Yes, $500,000. Register to win the giveaway of a lifetime Monday through Thursday from 3 to 7 p.m. Weekends 12 to 5. And there's no purchase necessary. Just get to the Wilds of Westport in West Fargo. Just go to 47th Avenue South, just off Cheyenne Street. Look for the signs and register to win. Listen for our live on-location broadcasts when we start pulling names that could be yours to win the giveaway of a lifetime. A new $500,000 home. Go to AM1100Online.com to see the house and to get more information. One of the largest prizes in Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo radio history could be yours from AM 1100 The Flag.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, and this is a pop quiz. What's the best way to find out what your auto policy covers? A, smash your car up and see how much your insurance pays, or B, talk to a highly trained farmer's agent and see if you have the coverage you want? The answer is B. Please don't attempt A. That's just crazy town.
If you want answers about auto insurance, you want a Farmers agent. Find yours at Farmers.com. We are insurance.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
Coverage not available in all states.
What do Century 21 agents bring to the table? They show you around town, join you for lunch, and lend a helping hand. They offer hospitality, congeniality, and all other allodies to help make you feel comfortable while helping you make your important decisions. They open doors, close sales, and take care of business without any monkey business, because they mean business. This is who they are. This is what they do. Century 21 agents. Smarter. Bolder. Faster. Century 21 is the official real estate company of the U.S. Soccer National Teams. Each office is independently owned and operated.
From Fargo, south to Stanford, and now back in the heartland, the Chris Berg Show, fueling the heartland from the PetroServe USA studios.
8:47 here on the Chris Berg Show. With us this morning, Public Service Commissioner Kevin Kramer. Number to call into the show, 271-1100. Again, 271-1100. I want to remind you, coming up in just a moment, Mike Marseille from BakkenHousingServices.com. He'll be joining us for our Energy Showcase segment. Let's get right to those phone calls. Brad out of Fargo, thanks for holding.
Hi, how are you doing this morning?
Good.
I have an irritating point of view about this whole situation. When the gas prices were high 5 years ago and we weren't producing our own, we were told it was high because of the Saudis. You know, it was the Saudis' fault at that time. Now that we're producing our own oil, we're told that the high prices that we're enduring are because of the world market. It's like, why does the American customer lose both ways? My point of view is you follow the money, you find the crook.
Yeah, that's... Kevin, I want your comments on that, please.
Well, I'm not disagreeing that there's some truth to the money issue, but the reality is that it is a world market issue. That doesn't mean that it's any easier to take. Right now, I suspect, and this is just my opinion, I think you know you might find others that share it, but I think oil is overpriced, probably as much as $20 a barrel, just because of the unrest in the Middle East. While we are producing our own, we are still subject to to world markets. Having said that, the Brent crude price, which is the outside of America, if you will, to put it crudely, the price is higher than the WTI price, which is here domestically. But the reality is, yeah, we still import a lot of oil. We still are subject to world markets and geopolitical
But what drives us crazy is that we exported more oil last year than we.
We do export some refined product out of the Gulf Coast, and that does create some frustration for people, and I understand that.
Kevin, I got a bunch of phone. I'm sorry. I got a bunch of phone calls. I want to get to make sure we get them in. 271-1100. Tim out of Bismarck. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. See, that's what I was going to talk about, is what we're exporting and the supply. I I know somebody that's very involved in the oil business, and he tells me that the refineries down in the Gulf aren't operating at 100% capacity, more like 75%. They're intentionally holding back. And then if this pipeline does get completed, a lot of that finished product will be shipped overseas. And now, I'm in favor of the pipeline, and I'm in favor of the work, but why isn't that helping us as a consumer rather than shipping products overseas?
Amen. Kevin?
Yeah, no, I think you raise an important point, Tim, that, and there's value to it because of, of course, the jobs, because of the economic advantage, because some of the national security issues. Whether or not we see real price relief as a result of it, I don't know. I guess I don't know. I couldn't swear to or be certain that they're holding back in refining capacity in the Gulf Coast because of, you know, just to sort of manipulate price. I don't see a lot of value in that, frankly. The refineries make more money making more product. Part of the problem in the Gulf Coast is they're actually reversing pipelines now so that more continental crude goes into the Gulf Coast versus the, you know, Venezuelan crude coming and going the other way. So we're actually seeing pipelines being reversed, including a large Enbridge line. Enbridge and Conoco owned it together. Enbridge bought out Conoco. It's called the Seaway line. So they're reversing that. That'll allow several hundred thousand barrels per day to go from Cushing, Oklahoma, into the Gulf Coast to feed those refineries, as opposed to the other way around. But I'm not an expert on the export out of the country of refined product, but I share your frustration that why shouldn't we get some price relief before the products get shipped.
Kevin, we got five more minutes and a bunch of phone calls. I want to get to here again. 271-1100. Greg out of Glendon, thanks for holding.
Hi. Yeah, see, we keep hearing about this global market thing, and what I'm kind of wondering is, I mean, these oil companies, let's say Exxon, they're pumping oil out of the ground in the U.S. and then dumping the oil out on the open market, apparently, and then turning around and selling that same oil they pumped out of the ground to their own refineries. Why do they have to sell that oil to their own refineries at the global price? It doesn't cost them that much to pull it out of the ground.
Yeah,
and
I don't know that they're
selling to their own subsidiary.
Sure. I don't know that they, as you say, dump it into the oil, into the global market. It's more of the pricing is global because it's, you know, because we still import, which raises, I think, another issue, Chris, that I think is worth talking about, that Greg raised, and that is, you know, we talk a lot about energy independence. I prefer to talk about energy security, and here's the reason. Because when things do straighten out in the Middle East, if they ever do, and there is a lot more oil available, the last thing I want is a monopoly created on our own continent because we've decided that independence is more important than security. So you know, when the cartel or whoever it is starts oversupplying in the Middle East and oil prices come way down, we as consumers want to be able to take advantage of that. And one of the things one of the dangers of locking ourselves into our own continent's supply, calling it, quote, independence, is all of a sudden you've created your own monopoly. And so global markets work both ways, and it's just that right now it's
very,
very
expensive.
Yeah, but
doesn't OPEC manipulate those numbers to screw us?
Well, I don't think there's any question they do that. And having our own supply in our own back pocket, if you will, or our own backyard, helps us, control it a little more, if you will, helps us hold them a little more honest. So when we start straightening things out, especially in Iran and the Straits, and, you know, we then I think we'll see. That's why I say I think oil is at least $20 overpriced right now as a result of some of that unrest.
Kevin, I got 2.5 minutes to get through three more phone calls, so we can just keep it brief.
Okay,
Don out of Fargo, welcome to the show.
Yeah, the second time I've heard you talking about exports of refined petroleum products, specifically gasoline. It's misleading because we haven't been self-sufficient in petroleum overall since around 1960. If you look at our petroleum imports, they've been over half for a couple decades. It's probably still close to 60%. Mm-hmm. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
No, I do, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because you give people listening in thinking the idea that we're self-sufficient and even exporting petroleum products overall.
Oh, no, I don't want to give that impression at all. No.
No, not you, Kevin. I'm talking about Chris.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's who I meant. And again, it's simple to check this out. We've been a net petroleum importer over half for over two decades. Close to 60% today.
Well, just last week I saw that we exported more oil, i.e. gas, and, I mean,
than
we produced.
That's a refined product. Take a look. at the government's, what is it that, but yeah, petroleum imports are a total of, we're importing about 60% of our total petroleum usage, okay? Because we're using about 19 million barrels a day. We're only producing, what is it, about 40% of that, 42%?
Don, I want to get to a couple more phone calls here. Larry, last call out of Fargo. Thanks for holding.
Yeah, Kevin, have you ever considered that Obama's buddy, Warren Buffett, might be lying to a Republican North Dakota Public Service Commissioner that's running for the Republican nomination to the U.S. Senate?
Well, I think, I would say, Larry, I appreciate your point. And
it's
yes,
not funny, I'm dead serious.
No, I understand. But Warren Buffett didn't tell me this personally, realize. I mean, this is a statement, a very public statement he's made, and his words do matter. And I don't want to completely dismiss the possibility, but I do think the risk of a guy like Warren Buffett lying so emphatically is a very high risk. And so while I don't want to completely dismiss it, I tend not to, as I said earlier, gravitate to those, you know, those sort of extreme positions. But I will say that everybody wins when we produce a lot more, including railroads. And one of the more interesting things that, frankly, came out of the BNSF summit was the talk of the possibly switching all of their engines from diesel to natural gas, given the tremendous supply of natural gas. And those
that's a whole other conversation. You got all these environmentalists crying about global warming, and obviously these railways are kicking out more CO2 than a pipeline's going to. Kevin will be on 6:30 POV with me tonight. Be sure and tune in for that, KXJB Channel 4. Bruce, the other phone callers, I apologize. We just ran out of time. Stay with us. Energy Showcase coming up. Mike Marcille, BakkenHousingServices.com. I'm Chris Berg. Thanks, Kevin Kramer, Public Service Commissioner. More coming to you live from the PetroServe USA studio.
For wheat growers, the object of the game is to protect young wheat from early weed competition and end up at the finish line with higher yields. Weeds that stand between you and success, like wild oats, green foxtail, broadleaves. Make your first move towards higher yields. Prepare herbicide. Adding Prepare to your glyphosate burndown gives you residual control of the weeds that steal moisture and nutrients from young wheat. Ask your dealer about Prepare from Arista Life Science. And always read and follow label directions.
Downtime isn't an option, so take time to inspect your tractor and implement tires and ensure they're ready for the field. A visual inspection can reveal excessive wear and potential issues that could arise when least expected. It's also a good time to properly adjust the inflation pressure of your tires for enhanced traction, which can help reduce your fuel bill. Limiting downtime this spring is easy with help from Goodyear Farm Tires.
Call your local Goodyear Farm Tire dealer to make sure you are ready to roll this planting season.
When I was little, we could talk about anything.
I still want you to talk to me.
When I was little, you gave me hugs.
I still could use a hug once in a while. You're
my
parent,
and I'll always need you.
No matter their age, your children never stop counting on you. Visit parenting.org for helpful resources, or call the Boys Town National Hotline at 800-448-3000 for free parenting advice.
I grew up in a big family where mealtimes were always a special time to reconnect and share the events of our day. Part of what made those times special and still does today, Country Hearth Natural Breads, baked with natural ingredients like whole grains and molasses. From toasted multigrain or English muffin bread to a smoked turkey and Gouda cheese on Dakota 12 grain, Country Hearth has been fueling families like ours for years. Country Hearth Bread. For coupons, recipes, and more, visit countryhearthbreads.com.
Live from the PetroServe USA studio, here's Chris Berg.
I want to turn the whole thing upside down. I'll find the things they say just can't be.
Oh, happy Tuesday. It's good to be back in the saddle with you right here on AM 1100 The Flag, Super Talk 1270. I want to remind you, tonight, 6:30 POV, KXJB Channel 4. Kevin Kramer will be with me there as well to continue this debate, this discussion. Coming up in just a moment, it's our Energy Showcase. Company founder of BakkenHousingServices.com, serial entrepreneur Mike Marcille will be with us here inside the PetroServe USA studio. Get a chance to hear his story and about what other opportunities are out there in Western North Dakota if you are a serial entrepreneur yourself. Also in the 10 o'clock hour, pro bike laners will join us. And, of course, time for your phone calls, 271-1100. Again, 271-1100. By the way, did you hear about the average income out there in Western North Dakota? We'll talk about that, too. I'm Chris Berg, coming to you live from the PetroServe USA studio, helping America fuel better with $10,000. Be sure and stop into your local PetroServe and register to win. We'll sing and dance to Mother
Nature's song. This world keeps spinning. Before we talk about the news, we've got to bring it to you first. And we do.
WZFG AM, Dilworth, Fargo, Moorhead, a Great Plains integrated marketing station.